are in the middle of our fast right now, and it's really interesting because we fast every year. Sometimes we fast 10 days, sometimes we fast 7 days, sometimes we feel like the Lord's leading us to 21 days. This year was 21 days of prayer and fasting. And it's interesting because I kind of started off the fast with like, you know, I'm not sure what to ask for. I'm not sure what the Lord wants to do, or, you know, where do you want me to go, Lord? And so, you know, just praying and working through. And the other day I was at one of our, one of my accounts that I visit, and it's in a senior living facility. And so I was in there, and the executive director waved me in. She kind of called me in, but she was on the phone. So I just sat in her office quietly. And I heard her crying on the phone to another colleague, and she was telling them, I have no one. I have no staff. Everyone's sick. Everyone's got COVID. I don't know what to do, blah, blah, blah. And she's, you know, crying, pouring out her heart. She goes, I can't even feed my residents. I don't know what I'm going to do. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you can help. You can help. So I quickly text Richie and I said, hey, can we, you know, what do you think? And he was like, thumbs up, which, you know, if you've ever gotten a text from Rich, it's pretty much emoji. Emoji was the best thing that ever happened to Richie for text messaging. It was like a thumbs up. I'm like, yes. So so then I text some of our team that I knew, you know, had some free time. And I said, hey, do you guys think we could do this? And they were like, yes, all in. So she hung up the phone and I said, hey, our church would love to help you provide meals for your residents. And so it was so amazing, guys, because we got together. We were able to make two big meals for them. We delivered them on Friday, and she texted me and said, my residents are eating because of you. They didn't have to get Happy Meals. They got meals. And I just wanted to say thank you, church, for being a giving church, because it was because of you we were able to provide those for them. She was like, turn in your receipts. I said, no. The Lord has blessed us so we can bless you. And so I just want to thank you guys for that. We got to be the hands and feet of Jesus. What was that? 5 days into our fast. So see how God works. When you're just obedient to what he's called you to, you hear his voice in such a clear way that you're able to say yes when he says, I want you to do that. I don't know what it looks like. I haven't got it all figured out, but we can help. And that's amazing. And that's testimony to you guys and to the faithfulness of this church. But we are in week, you know, two of our fast. And I do want to kind of just reiterate for some of you who may not understand, why do we fast? What is the importance of that? I do believe there are a few reasons. I'm going to talk four real quick. The first is we fast because Jesus tells us to. He asked his disciples, he said, when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast. It's a part of spiritual discipline. It's a part of what we do because we believe it draws us closer to God. And so we believe that that's what Jesus expects of us. So we do that. That's one of the reasons why we fast. The other is repentance. We believe that fasting opens our heart because we're denying our flesh, that there's a part of that that allows us to be humble and open before the Lord so he can speak truth to us, maybe that we wouldn't have heard in another way. So it brings about repentance. The third thing is spiritual strength to overcome. Spiritual strength to overcome. When we deny our flesh, we would think like, oh, we're weak. But what happens is the Lord strengthens us. And the Bible talks about when Jesus went into the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil three times, he was able to say as he was fasting, my word, the word says, the word. And he quoted that back at the enemy, and it gave him the strength and the power to overcome those tempting situations. And then as a result of that, when the devil left that third time, the Bible says angels came and ministered to him. Man, that's such an amazing picture of what happens during a fast. When you feel that your flesh rise up, when you're fighting something that you've been fighting for years and years and years, you deny your flesh and you draw closer to the Lord. It's like you feel like he's ministering to you in those moments. You don't feel weaker, you feel stronger spiritually. That's what we're experiencing in this room today. You have a bunch of people who have been fasting for 9 days. We're like loaded for bear right now. You know what I mean? We're loaded. The fourth thing is this guidance and direction. And that's really what this fast is about. We really take the first part of the year because we want guidance and direction. Lord, what does the rest of my year look like? Where are you leading? Where are you guiding me? So if you haven't participated in the fast yet, I want to encourage you. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me to give up for the next couple of days? What are you asking me? Until the 21st, that's when we believe our fast is going to come to an end. But what is he asking you to set aside just for a season, just for a time, so that you can draw closer to him? And last week, Richie talked about our word of the year. Our word of the year is, if for those of you who aren't here, our word of the year is greater. Greater. In 2022, when Richie fasted and prayed about this word for like we do every year since 2018, he fasted and prayed about this word. What are you going to give us, Lord? What is our compass? It's like a North Star for us. And so this year, he felt like the word of 2022 was greater. And so I'm excited about that word. I make it my password just so I can constantly remember it all the time with a couple of other things so I don't try to sneak into my stuff. But I just want to keep that in front of me all the time. So I want to encourage you as you're praying and as you're fasting, Lord, what is it that you have me to do with this word, greater? How do you want to appropriate this to my life this year? We have this bush in our front yard, and I have the privilege today of talking to you about greater fruit. Greater fruit. Toby kind of touched on this in team rally, and I thought it was so amazing how God, you know, brought that into her heart, and this is what I'm talking about today. But greater fruit is what I want to talk to you about. And we have this bush in our front yard, and it's, I hope I'm saying it right, bougainvillea. Did I say it right? Okay. It's the thorny one that hurts you, but it looks real pretty, you know, so you want to get near it, but you're like, ugh. But whoever planted it real close to the eavesment of our house. So I have to keep it trimmed or else people get hurt by it. So when we first moved in and I saw that it was hanging over, I just took a gigantic pair of hedgers, right? And I just started, you know, hacking the crap out of this thing, right? And I was cutting it back, and my neighbor came over. Clearly, he could see I had no idea what I was doing. He came over and he goes, would you like some help? And I was like, well, I mean, I'm just cutting it. And he goes, I think I have something that can help you. And so I have these gigantic, like, you know, industrial size cutters. And he comes over with this little tiny pair of pruners. Yeah, like bypass. I think they're called bypass shears. And he comes over and he starts getting in there and he's going in deep and kind of cutting and pruning and doing all this stuff. And Rich and I start crying, right? Because the Lord's speaking to us in this moment, right? He's teaching us about pruning and the Lord's like, this is what I've called you, you know? So he's like talking to us and Rich and I are like, yeah, oh yeah, God's good, you know? You know, like we're just getting so ministered to in this moment because he was teaching us that there are, he goes, if you really look at this bush, what you'll see is there are some places that are dead that we need to cut off. And he said, because there is life that needs to come from these other places. And he has showed us how to look and how to measure up the two. We'll cut this one off because it's dead. And it's just basically detracting from the bush. So instead of it bringing life, it's sucking nutrients and it's just dying. So cut it off. Man, it was just, like I said, this moment where Rich and I, the guy's trying to teach us about pruning and we're bawling our eyes out, right? Because there was this moment of all it took was a tiny pair of scissors. It wasn't a hack job. It didn't need to be hacked. And we look at our life sometimes and we think, oh man, Lord, it's just all got to come off. And the Lord's like, but I just want to get in there for a minute right here. I just want to focus on this little part right here. And I think if we can approach 2022 with that in mind, it doesn't have to be this gigantic, like, wipeout. Sometimes it's just this tiny detail right here that unlocks your growth. And I believe that this message today, that's what I'm supposed to talk to you about. So let's read John 15, 1 through 17. Y'all know me in reading, so just bear with me. Here we go. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Listen to this word, highlight it, and take note of it. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Some branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my word remains in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Keep reading, verse 9. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father has told me. You don't choose me, I choose you. I chose you. I appoint you to go and produce lasting fruit. Everyone say lasting fruit. Lasting fruit. So that the Father will give you what you ask for using my name. This is my commandment. Love each other. Jesus gives his disciples clear instructions on how to produce lasting fruit in their life. I would say, if we were translating it into 2022, how to produce greater fruit in the name of Jesus. And I believe there are three specific ways that we can do this. The first is commitment. Commitment. In order for us to see greater fruit in our lives in 2022, we are going to have to make a commitment. And for some of us, a recommitment to spiritual disciplines or a personal practice that we have neglected in the past. For some of us, our life looks a little bit like whack-a-mole. We like hit one thing and something else pops up, and we hit that thing and then something else comes up, and we target our effort towards one thing and then, oh crap, here comes another thing in my life. But I think that's life. And I think that's the way that God deals with us, because he doesn't show us every area of life that he wants to work on with us. It would be overwhelming and we would probably quit. Instead, what he does is he shows us that one little area we got to work on. We're going to go in deep just right here. We're going to work on that. This is what our focus is for 2022. We're going to target this one thing. And I think then when we get that under control, and when we've walked in it, and now that thing that used to be a hindrance to us actually becomes a place of blessing for us, when that happens, then I think the Lord says, okay, here we go. So if you feel like, man, the Lord just keeps showing me here, okay, let's work on this now. Guess what? You graduated. Hallelujah. That means that thing that what was once a hindrance for you is not a hindrance anymore, so we can work on something else. So instead of in the midst of those times feeling exacerbated and frustrated and why do I always have to work on something else, be thankful because the Lord is graduating you faster. That's a great feeling. It's an amazing feeling. Hebrews 12:12 through 14 says this, and I love this. Take note of it, highlight it, commit it to memory if you can this year. Hebrews 12:12 says, so take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. We're going to have to make a commitment, and we're going to have to stick to that commitment this year. Whatever it is that the Lord is showing you, however he is leading you and guiding you, make a commitment in your mind that as for this day, I'm making a commitment to that thing. Whatever it is, it could be anything. It could be a personal discipline. It could be that you need to take care of your body a little bit better. It could be that we need to eat in a different way. It could also mean that you need to start reading the word for 15 minutes a day or praying 15 minutes a day. It might mean that the Lord says, once a month, I want you to fast. Whatever it is that he is leading you to do in this year, make a commitment to that. Make that commitment. The second thing is consistency. In my opinion, consistency is probably the most important discipline you can develop as a Christian. The most important. Because a lot of times what we see in the earth today is people led by their emotions. And you cannot be led by your emotions and be consistent. You can't. That's the bottom line. You cannot be led. You cannot make a commitment and be led by your emotions. You will walk away from that commitment every single time. And the reason being is because our emotions look like this. I used to tell my clients this. They were like, I need to get up every day. It's just what works best for me. I have to be in the gym in the morning, blah, 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 blah. But I'm so tired. And I hit snooze, and then I hit snooze. And then before I know it, I got to get ready for work. So we would say this, sleep in your gym clothes. It's so stupid. It's so practical. It's so dumb. Why? Let me tell you, because you don't have to worry about getting up. I'm up. I'm ready. Okay, I'm going. It's little things. See, again, let's go back to it. We want to take the big hedgers to it. I'm going to do one of these and like sweep my life. And the Lord's like, just do something little that puts you on a path of consistency. Just the little steps of consistency make a huge difference in your life. And he says this in John 15 over and over again when he says, remain, remain, remain. What is that? Be consistent, be consistent, be consistent. You're not going to call someone who is inconsistent and ask them to help you with a problem, right? You're just not. You're just not. You want some, if I need prayer, I'm calling Sharon Comer. Because she's committed to prayer. It's a part of who she is. It's a core value for her. She does it every single day. Every single day. And I know that when she prays, that she's really praying. Not like, I pray she feel better. You know what I mean? Like she's storming the gates of hell with her prayers. And so when I need prayer, that's who I call. It's not because she's wishy-washy or inconsistent. It's because consistency is the motto. For us, what do you want to be known for? What do you want to be known for in 2022? When you look back over this year, next January, what do you want to see that you are consistent in this year that you were not consistent in last year? Let me say it a different way. Where do you want to produce greater fruit this year that you did not produce last year? Because wherever it is, I promise you the key is in consistency. If it's in your finances, it may be that you need to set up a plan of action, Misty Sarlo, and stop spending money, Misty Sarlo, because there's a game plan here in mind. We got to set a goal. And in that goal, we have to be consistent in it. This word, when he uses it in John 15, is meno in the Greek. Maria, I hope I said it right. Please don't kill me later. Meno in the Greek. And it means continue, endure, lasting. That's what Jesus is saying. I want you to continue. I want you to endure. I want you to bear lasting fruit. And I think when we do that, the Holy Spirit gets greater glory and God gets greater glory in our life because he sees, man, they were consistent in the small steps, so I can trust them with greater. If that's what you want, the consistency is going to be your key this year. So whatever it is that you are believing God for in 2021 that you didn't see happen, and the Lord is bringing it back around and saying, okay, this year is the year. This year's the year. Then take those tiny committed steps to bring that about. The final thing, or the third thing, is that when we get there, is core. Once you've made a commitment, you've been consistent in that commitment, then that becomes a core value of who you are. A core value of who you are. If you want to see greater fruit, it has to be a core value. It can't be something you occasionally do. You're committed, you're consistent. I see fruit in this area because of that. John 15:8, he says this, "When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple. This brings great glory to my Father." So when you produce wishy-washy fruit, that's not great glory. When we are sometimes at church, but sometimes not at church, because it's not a commitment, it's not consistent, you don't see growth, you wonder, man, I wish I had a community of people that would rally around. I feel so alone right now. Be consistent. Join a community group. Get involved. If you're like, I want to lose some weight. Well, what step are you going to take this year? Not the big step. I got to lose weight. What tiny step are you going to take that you're going to be committed to? I'm going to get up every day. And even if I walk, I'm going to do something for 30 minutes every day. What is it? Again, let's not take the big hedgers to our life. Let's work on the tiny step that's going to produce the great harvest in our life. Here's the challenge. I believe that God has probably spoken to each and every one of us in this room. Sometimes it's in the form of this is my New Year's resolution. Sometimes it's in the form of, I'm not doing that this last year. What happened last year is not happening this year. What I would love to see is I would love to see us on our prayer wall out there, take one of our little prayer cards, and I would like to see you write down, not the big thing, I'm going to lose weight. I want to see the tiny step. Write that down. I'm going to get up every day and spend 30 minutes with the Lord. I'm going to get up every day and I'm going to walk. Whatever it is, whatever you're considering, I'm going to read the word every day. I'm committing to that. Every day I'm going to read the word. And then what I want to see is once a month, we're going to have different colored stickers out there. Once you've written your little tiny actionable step down, every month I want you to take a sticker and I want you to put it on there. Every month. Because what I want to see at the end of the year is that we were consistent. We're not perfect, but we were consistent. And I believe that at the end of this year, when we revisit this talk in January 2023, that what we're going to see is, oh man, you know what? That thing that happened, that I thought was such a big deal, it's not a big deal anymore. Because I was able to do the little actionable step every day or every month or every week. And as a result of that, that is not an issue in my life anymore. And I've overcome. And I believe that that's going to happen this year for you. That wall is more about accountability than anything else. And what I'm telling you and we are committing to as a prayer team is that we are going to pray over that wall. And we are going to pray for your actionable step this year. That whatever it is, that you're going to have the grace and the favor to overcome so that when you look back over this year, you have a check mark beside that thing that used to be a hardship or a difficulty is not going to be that anymore. Whatever it is, however the Lord is leading you, that's your, you don't have to write your name. You can leave it anonymous, but put your sticker every month. I want you to put your sticker on there. We want to believe with you that you're going to overcome this year by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, and that you're going to take ground that the enemy has stolen from you, and that 2022 is going to be a year of greater fruit in your life because you put in the work. What we do is we accept salvation as what it is, that we accept Christ's sacrifice on the cross because we couldn't have paid that debt for ourselves. But then we act like sometimes as Christians that we don't have any responsibility in the process of that. There's still work that has to be involved in your salvation. You're not saved because of works, but in order for you to make transformation and progress in your life, there is work. Sometimes the work is just overcoming your mental thoughts. Sometimes the work is overcoming by saying no to some stuff. Sometimes it's by saying yes to God when he asks something of you. Band, if you would come up. In 2022, let's take a new firm grip with our tired hands. Over the last couple of years, it has been exhausting, to say the very least. If we were overcoming one thing, we were overcoming another, it felt like. Don't get weary in doing well. In due season, you will reap if you don't faint. Don't give up. Remain. Greater fruit comes when you remain in him. And I'm confident this year that we are going to see praise report after praise report. We were telling Wednesday night at prayer, we were saying, you know what? By Easter, I bet you we're going to start seeing an insane number of just praise reports because of the faithfulness and the consistency. Don't let the enemy tell you that that's always going to be something you struggle with. No, that's a lie. And that'll cause you to get stuck. There's nothing worse than feeling hopeless. But guess what? We serve the God of hope. So there is nothing in your life that is too hard for him. There is nothing, nothing in your life that he cannot do in your life. Nothing. If you're believing God for something and you're like, man, Toby said this today. Why do I keep believing you for this? I don't see it happen in my life. I don't think he was mad at her for questioning. But guess what? Her question opened the door for him to say, that's not true, that's a lie. She was able to hear the Lord say, what you're thinking is not right, because she asked a question. Don't think that God is mad when you question him. He still wants your obedience, but talk to him. Lord, I've been praying about this for years. What do I need to do? What is my small step this year? Where are you trying to show me with these pruning hedges or little pruning, you know, shears right here? Where are you trying to clip off that I'm trying to hang on to? Sometimes we hang on to those areas of our life that are dead because it's the biggest branch, and that's what he showed us in that moment. This is the biggest branch in your tree, but it's the deadest one. It's got to come off. What are you looking at with your life right now? What's the biggest tree branch in your life that is sucking life and sucking energy and sucking good things from your life and from your time? That God is saying, I don't want that anymore for you. You need to shut that down. We need to cut that off. It could be a thought process. A lot of times it's a thought process because our mind causes us to get stuck. It's hopeless. It's not hopeless. I'm going to reiterate this to you over the next year, that there is nothing that is hopeless with God. Nothing. He is the God of hope, and he has come to restore and to heal and to deliver. And some of you need to remind yourself of that daily. So what are those actionable steps you're going to take this year? What are you going to do to re-grip, take a firm grip with our tired hands? What are we going to do in order to see greater fruit in our life this year? Because I'm telling you right now, greater fruit is coming. Don't be left behind. Don't look back over this year and say, man, I should have. Don't do it. Don't do it. Look back over this year and say, I did because God helped me. Let's stand up. Pray. Lord, I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for this word. God, I pray that this year you would help us to be committed, Lord, to not be led by our emotions, to be consistent in what you've asked us to do. And God, I thank you that as a result of the commitment and the consistency, God, that we're going to see that core value develop inside of us. Lord, I thank you for greater fruit in your people this year. Lord, I come against every assignment of the enemy that would try to hinder, that would try to steal this seed, that would try to steal this word from their life. God, I silence every voice of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you that faith will be built and developed. As they make that commitment, God, it's a seed going into the ground. And I thank you that that consistency is developed under the surface. It's in those small steps. God, this is a year of consistency in your people. God, I thank you in every area of their life. God, if it brings you glory, they're going to be consistent in it. I praise you and I thank you for the blessings. God, I thank you for showing favor on your people this year. Lord, I thank you that when everybody else is walking in lack, they're going to be so richly blessed, God. I praise you and I thank you for that, God, because they sow seed, that they're a blessing to others. God, and as a result of that, you are going to continue to open up the windows of heaven over them, Father God. Pour out a blessing that they can't contain, Lord. I thank you for that. I praise you and I thank you that this year we're going to give glory to you in every area of our life. We thank you for your favor. I pray that we would live a year of greater, God, in every area of our life. Lord, I pray we would not settle for the things of old, the things that we did last year. We wouldn't divert into old patterns, God, but that you would cause us to run from the past and embrace what you've called us to, God. We make a commitment to you today, God, that we're going to serve you. This year, we're going to see you do amazing things, Father God, in the earth, in the community, and inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen.